I've been thinking about prayer some for this episode. Hi, it's me, NCR, here with another episode of the Sunshining Podcast. And my guest on the show today, he wrote a book titled For This Child I've Prayed, and in a bit you'll get to hear a bit of his story. And I don't know who you are listening to this podcast and what if you're experiencing difficulty in your life right now or hardship. And I just want to ask you a question. Have you made prayer your first resort? And so, yeah, I've been thinking about prayer a little bit for this episode, and then, making it the first resort. As Christians, one of the things we're commanded to do is to pray without ceasing. And I think if we do that, if we pray without ceasing throughout our lives, and it will automatically be a first resort when we go through a hardship, right? We'll first, we'll think to call on God and cry to Him for help. But maybe, and maybe you're someone who maybe, and we're all people, like it's like hard to be like the perfect Christian that prays all the time, right? And maybe you're somebody who feels guilty, like maybe you have experienced a hardship or something, and you maybe felt guilty, like, oh, you wish you would have prayed to God sooner than you did. And I think no matter when you pray about something, it was the first resort, right? It was the first time you realized that, oh, this is bigger than I can handle on my own. I need God. And so I know, like that thing of like prayer is first resort, like some people, yeah, like it's kind of an interesting topic. So because what would be considered a last resort, right? I guess after it's all done and said, just I guess thanking God that you've got through it, but it should be a first resort, praying that God will help you get through something if you are experiencing a difficulty, and just pour out your heart to Him if you are experiencing something, and just yeah, because He wants to help you. So it should be both a first resort and a last resort, and just prayer should be continually throughout your life. I think I've said enough kind of to introduce this topic and this message, and let's just get to know my guest and a little bit of his story. And he, like I said, he recently wrote this book, For This Child I've Prayed, and it. And I'd encourage you to grab a copy of it. Links to that will be on the Sunshine Podcast website.
So hi, and welcome to my podcast. And right quick, for anyone who's never heard of you, could you just give your brief kind of introduction?
So my name's R.L. Schauber. I am a father of two, happy husband of my wife, Stephanie. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I work in data. I've worked in data for about 15 years. I work now in the software industry, and I used to work in oil and gas. So I know you're from Texas, Nathan. So I was pretty pumped to, talk to some people from Texas because that's the main hub for all things oil and gas, But yeah, I work in software now, and I actually wrote a book. My youngest son, who's now 7, had 6 heart surgeries his first 18 months, and it was a brutal process. It beat the snot out of me and my wife, and were it not for my faith, and I'm not even sure if he'd be alive. And I definitely know we would not be where we are today. So yeah, that's it.
You maybe go in depth, about your story, about your son and what inspired the book.
For me, a lot of people will write trauma books, like books about traumatic experiences, and it's a, they want to share what they were done, they've been through, and they've overcome, and I think those are pretty awesome stories. I know for me, I mean, I wasn't passive as we went through this. I was very much standing on my faith. I was very much going after God's healing for my son. And so it was not a passive journey. And I learned a lot in that process. I mean, it's definite warfare, And I wanted to get that in the book. I wanted to share that with people, and I wanted to do it in a story form. Mainly because I feel like that's what God told me to. But at looking back, I'm like, wow, that was really smart because like it really puts things into perspective for people to it's a lot better than reading like a self-help book or like a how-to book. It's I tried to tell it similarly to how the Bible's told, like, hey, let's share lessons through story, you know? So yeah, that's what inspired the book. I really wanted to see people, I want to see people understand that their faith is not something meek, mild. It's not just for salvation. It's for waging war. It's for knocking down the gates of hell, just like Jesus said.
Why the title? Like what inspired the title?
For this child I've prayed, it was, actually, it was because Samuel, his name's Samuel, my son Samuel. Actually, the cool thing is like the first chapter I talk about, like, you know, going through and choosing a name and all that stuff, and how I actually just said, hey, God, I know you have, you say that you have a name written in your book for every single person. And I would be honored if I could name my son that name, if I could give him that name. And so actually it was really wild because you chose to do that. And my wife was like, okay, cool. So what are we gonna name him? And I was like, I'm gonna wait on God to see what he has to give me. And you know, the first couple months, she's like, okay, you're gonna choose a name? I was like, I'm waiting to see what God has to tell me. And a couple weeks before she's due, she's like, are you going to choose a name? Because I really don't want to have, you know, baby Shaver here in the in the thing. And I was like, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna see if, you know, what God says. If he doesn't show up, no, if he doesn't give me a name, it's not that he won't show up, but if he doesn't give me a name, I'll just say, you know what, he had another name. He wants to hold that private. He doesn't want to let me use it. Whatever it is, it's okay, you know. But I know I'm waiting until then. And actually, even we went through labor. Samuel was born. I did not have a name for him, and I picked him up, and I just felt this warmth like that I've not felt ever before in my spirit. And I felt rather than heard the name Samuel. And I had come into the hospital with a couple ideas. My first name's Ronald. David is also I'm a big fan of. Ronald actually means wise ruler. David's, you know, first king of Israel, well, second king of Israel, but one of the most notable. And in one of my favorite stories in the Bible, one of my favorite leaders in the Bible. But I felt like the Holy Spirit told me that. And I didn't want to name him Samuel only because the guy who was mentoring me at the time had lost a son, Samuel, and I didn't want to risk hurting him. And so I was like, God, what do you like? Are you sure? I don't want to, you know, Jake's been mentoring me. I don't want to hurt him. And I felt like the Holy Spirit just, it was so weird because like when I thought a different name, all that warmth, all that joy, all that presence of the Holy Spirit went away. And all I felt was just like coldness and dryness. And I was like, okay. And then when I'd think Samuel again, that came back. And I was like, okay, guess that's it. So I named him Samuel. And you know, if the in First Samuel, Hannah talks about that her, you know, she names him Samuel, and she says, for, and it's because I have prayed for this child, or for this child I've prayed. And so that was kind of the tongue-in-cheek way to point back to Samuel and to First Samuel of the book. You know, so that was the reason for the name. And plus, you know, he definitely prayed. That was one of the weapons we used to fight for him.
I like that. And prayer is really interesting, and because so instead of, fighting for yourself, you're praying to God that He will fight for you, right? But I think in your book, you talk about where there's a time when God tells you that you have to fight for your child.
Did you get through some of the book?
No, I'm just rewording your
Oh,
question
reading
to
more questions.
that you sent me.
So we went through three phases with Samuel's medical journey. Like the first, like he was 2.5, like the first couple months, for his first 2.5 months, he was, you know, normal baby, so kind of a normal baby. Like we had a week, his, you know, his first week was in the hospital, and then we had another week, his second month in the hospital, you know, where he was in the, or his first, you know, after he's 1 month old, his second month where he's in the hospital. And we were like, okay, cool, no big deal. We're just, adjusting medications. Everything's going to be fine. And I'd prayed for him that he'd be strong and that he'd be, healthy and all this stuff, but especially strong entire pregnancy. And 2.5 months, he turned blue. We rushed him to the hospital. They tell us, hey, your son's going to have open heart surgery. And not only is he going to have open heart surgery, but it's not going to correct the issue. It's a temporary fix to get him to 6 months, a year, so we can do another surgery. So it was traumatic. I mean, I reached out to my mentor. I was like, Jake, dude. And he gave me a bunch of verses, gave me a bunch of books to read. And so that first phase was just, you're punched in the gut, you're knocked to the mat. And it was me standing on the faith that God fights my battles for me. Second Chronicles or Second Kings 20, where it talks about, the story of the king of Israel. I think it's Jehoshaphat, but don't quote me on that one. That he is, three different armies that had come, that had been allies of Israel, all double crossed him at the same time and decided they were going to go plunder Israel. And God told them, I'm going to fight your battles for you. Put your singers in the front. The singers went out in the front, and all the armies fought against each other and destroyed each other. And they came out and plundered. So I was like, okay, God's gonna fight my battles for me. This is gonna be awesome. This is gonna be great. And so that was the first phase, and that was surgery one. And then he had a second surgery at 6 months, a second surgery at 7 months. Between 7 months, which was April, and 13, 14 months, November. So the next 7 months, our journey was very calm. In fact, I thought it might have been over, but I'd been building a business at the time, and I'd been working. It was a people business, and I'd been very much focusing on people skills and stuff like that. And I felt like the Holy Spirit brought up that I should start reading the book, Build Your Self-Image by Josh McDowell. And so it had been recommended to me. It was sitting on my shelf. And so I was like, okay, cool, I'll grab this book. And I read that one. And then I read another book, Ditch the Baggage, Change Your Life by Nancy Alcorn, which talks about like forgiveness and letting things go and not holding on to the past. And then I read a third book by Joyce Meyer. And it's, what was the name of it? Power Thoughts. And actually, it was probably the most powerful book on helping me elevate my self-image that I've read. Fantastic of the way it's written, especially if you follow the recipe. And so that second season was me letting go of past hurts and moving forward with my self-image. And then November of that year, like about a week before Thanksgiving, we got the news that Samuel's heart valve had clotted out again. And so we rushed to the hospital when I was it was traumatic, because I mean it was a busy season at work for me. I used to work in reserves, which they would do year-end reserves, and I would have to submit things like the week before Thanksgiving. So this is like 3 days before he's having surgery. And I'm like, I've been working my butt off. I've been working late. I've been working through lunches. I've been, doing this, and I'm thinking he's okay. And then suddenly we're right back in the thick of it, and we're going for another open heart surgery. And I'm just like, whatever. And then I picked myself up. Actually, there was a big tearful moment. Actually, it was bad because I was driving through the city when it just the grief hit me, and I'm driving through the city of Pittsburgh, which is not known for good roads. It's really bad. Traffic's terrible here. Drivers are obnoxious. And so I'm driving through the city, and just the grief hits me as I'm coming through the, like right as I'm getting ready to go in the Fort Pitt Tunnel, come across the Fort Pitt Bridge, which if you've never seen, it's a really cool thing, but it's not really cool to see when you're in rush hour. And it's really not cool to see when you're like, you can't see because you're crying so hard, but it was at that moment that I chose, like, I drove through the city and I did not want to worship God, but I put on a worship album, and Zion by Hillsong was the album. And I sang two songs. It was track seven, track eight. It was like Nothing Like Your Love. And Love Is a War, and then Nothing Like Your Love, the back-to-back tracks. And the chorus of Love, Nothing Like Your Love, just it spoke to my spirit. Like, so I was praising God through my tears, through the traffic. And it got to a point where I was just praising God to be defiant. saying, hey, Satan, I know, yeah, we're going back for another surgery. I know we're getting punched in the gut. I know you think you won, but I tell you what, my God is good. My son's going to be healthy. He's going to be good. Everything's going to be awesome. So that was that. And then that got into the third phase. I hope I'm not going too long, Nathan.
No, it's good.
Yeah. Okay, cool, cool, cool. Just, I don't want to hog it. I mean, I know that's kind of the point of a podcast, but I'm not used to, like, you know. But the third phase, it got me into a, okay, same as going back in for surgery. I've dealt with my emotions. I've processed those. Okay, I'm going to start my confessions. God, you're going to take care of Samuel. He's going to live long in the land and grow strong in the land, which was my core confession. And I was driving to work, you know, getting ready to go into work and then come home and then take care of stuff and go to the hospital and all that stuff like it was every single day. And then, or every single day when he was in there. And then I was, you know, then I was like, okay, God, you fight my battles for me. And the Holy Spirit said, stop. Well, he didn't say stop. He said, no, you're going to fight the battle. And I was like, I don't even know what that means, God. You know what I mean? But it's cool because, like, really in that next phase is when I mean, I don't know that tactically I was doing anything different. I was still confessing God's word over him. I was still praying. I was still, you know, praising God. I was still standing in faith that that everything would be okay. But the level of determination changed. There were two things that really, there were two verses that hit me, and one was a verse actually from a POD song, which, you know, it's actually about the Bible. It's actually from a U2 song. And then the other one was was that Jesus set his face like flint. And I knew that Samuel was going to be okay, so I set my face like flint, that would be it. And I think about when I set my face like flint, it's hard. It can take a lot, you know, especially if it's a lot of it, because it could, you know, if you hit flint, it's, you know, whatever, it's hard. It's sharp and it's going to drive forward. But the other one was actually a quote from Bolt the Blue Sky, which is a U2 song. And then POED redid it. And you probably don't know either of those because you're only 21. It's okay. Basically, it's a super classic rock for me and then classic rock for you. I think it's funny. So I hope it's okay. But he says, Jacob, like the line was, Jacob wrestled the angel and the angel was overcome. And there was a phase in that where I almost felt like I was wrestling God. I knew God was on my side and I knew he wanted Samuel healthy and whole. And I knew, like, I wasn't really wrestling God, but I felt like I was wrestling God for Samuel to be well, you know, and that just saying, hey, I'm not going to accept anything else. I'm not going to accept anything else. This is what's going to happen. Because God, you've promised it. I'm not going to let it go, you know? And so that was the third part of the journey. So it's really weird to put in, but it's something that I felt like was a crucial part of my faith, my war of faith for my son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is, yeah, I really enjoyed hearing your story and you covered so much there. And I'm someone, you know, something I've said before my podcast is just like, yes, we could talk more, I can ask you more questions and everything, but maybe it's not necessary, you know. People can listen to this and they can take a moment just to pause and just to think, and if they need to re-listen to this. Because I'm someone, you know, I just heard it, but I'll have to listen to it a couple times while I'm editing it to really get fully what you said. And and then you cover, you know, your story in the book, so I'll definitely be sure to include links to your stuff in the description of this episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is the paperback. This is the hardback. Mm-hmm. If you want, I can tell you why I chose two different colors.
I'll probably answer that question, but is there anything else that you would like to share before we end this recording?
So definitely check out my website. Definitely follow along on my blog. So one of the things that's been the most, Nathan, one of the things that's been the most frustrating about this process, not bad frustrating, like I've actually been getting great reviews. Everybody who reads it is like, hey, this is really great. It's a great read. It's super easy. Or it's a super emotional. Or one of my favorites was a buddy was like, yeah, onion cutting ninjas slipped in the house and I didn't even see them, man. It was bad. In other words, he was crying. But a couple of the people that, like, I give out copies to people that are in the hospital because I want to impact them, because I want them to know that, hey, your faith's strong too. You know, God's there. God's for you. God's going to fight for you. And so, some of the feedback I've gotten from them is that this is just too much for them. It hits too close to home. It's too emotional. And so they haven't been able to read the book. So I've been working on a series of blog posts to just go through, and I'll probably turn it into a free resource or a free ebook or something like that to give out to people, because I want people to have something in their hands that goes through the same things that I fought through in my book, but gives them something tactical with less emotion and more, here's what you need to do to wage war for your kid. Because this is just how I believe. I believe that God wants our kids to be healthy. He wants them to live long in the land. He wants them to grow strong in the land, you know?
Well, thank you so much for, yeah, being a guest on my podcast.
This episode has been amazing so far, and yeah, just a personal reflection that I just want to share. It's interesting, my guest had, he had to spend a lot of time in the hospital. Hospitals are centralized places where you can find a lot of sick and hurt and broken people. But the whole world is literally a hospital. The whole world is filled with hurt and broken people. And I don't know who you are. And yeah, maybe what your story is. And so yeah, I know a verse that I kind of shared in the opening. I just want to share again here is pray without ceasing. First Thessalonians 5:17, and it's not a command. It's something we need. We need to pray without ceasing, because when you're going through life, when if you are experiencing something hard in life, you need to, yeah, give it to God, give your pain to God, and pray that He'll help you get through whatever. And yeah, so yeah, if. Yeah, thank you for listening to this, this podcast. And hopefully it's, you've enjoyed this episode and it's been beneficial to you. If you could please subscribe to the Sunshine Podcast wherever you get podcasts, as well as follow me, the Non-Resistant Really on YouTube, the Sunshining NCR on Instagram. Connect with me, you can feel free to send me a direct message. And if you would like to be a guest on my podcast, if you have a short story you would like to share. But that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. There is a clip, I think I'm going to share it here in the end. Something, my guest, he has a YouTube channel. And so on the Sunshining Podcast YouTube channel, I feature the channels of other people that have been on my podcast that have YouTube channels. But there's a video on his channel about, I'll just share it at the end of this episode, where he shared just some things that didn't make it into the book.
So one of the things that I always think would be super cool would be to do maybe some things that didn't make it into the book that almost did. Like one of the things that didn't make it into the book, and I really thought about putting this in there was a point where we were just in the heat of the struggle, and Samuel was, we were back and forth in the hospital, and I was riding the elevator down with a dad who was just, he was in tears. He was really upset. I don't know if he's in tears. He was like really upset. And I was like, hey man, you doing all right? How's your kid? Because it's children's hospital, so it's a kid. And he's like, my son broke his arm. And I really wanted to slap him. Like, and I felt like the Holy Spirit really pointed out to me, like, hey, Arl, like, listen, you know, at least he cares. And as a parent, like any parent who cares about their kid is a solid thing. So, kind of a gut check, you know, that you don't have to compare, you know, yours is worse than some others. I mean, mine's definitely worse. My kid's having another open heart surgery. It's pretty bad, you know? But yeah, is what it is. I learned what I learned, and it's basically that parents, a parent who loves a kid is a good thing, and don't hate them for that.